Take your Bibles this morning, go to the book of Ephesians, big surprise there, chapter number 6 and verse number 15. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6 and verse number 15. We've been talking about the armor of God and working through the armor of God and understanding that we are in a spiritual battle and that the devil wants to destroy us, wants to bring us down, wants to hurt us in our lives, in our walk with God, and whatever that may be. So Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul, for those that haven't been here through all this, he's reminding those Christians to be strong in the Lord, to stand with the full armor of God. He reminds the Christian who their enemy is, the wiles, the schemes of the devil, the rulers of darkness, all these different things that come against the believer. And so here in verse number 15, he's going to begin to talk about our footwear. He has already addressed in verse number 14 our loins, or this belt that would wrap around the armor and hold everything in place. Then we've been talking about this breastplate of righteousness, and we're clothed in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ, and that we live practically who we are positionally in Jesus Christ. And then it would seem in verse number 15, he says this, and your feet, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I don't know about you, but as you're going through this portion of scripture, you're thinking, all right, I understand the importance of my loins being girt about with truth, and I understand this breastplate of righteousness that covers my vital organs and this area of my chest, but now we're talking about my feet, right? Are the feet really that important? Well, if you really think about it, everything that we have comes down to our footing and our standing. If you do not have good traction, you can't hardly do anything. Think of a football player who does not account for the conditions of the football field and goes out with tennis shoes and no cleats on his feet. He'll be worthless. My family and I, we used to play what we called the Turkey Bowl every year. It was a football game, and Joanna, believe it or not, was my star wide receiver. And the secret that we had was we had cleats. And we didn't tell anybody else that we had them until the game started on Thanksgiving morning. And then Joanna would lace up her cleats and nobody could keep up with her because she could turn quicker than they would. Her footing was better. Our footing is so important in our life. Whatever you're doing, just go to a store. They sell shoes for tennis. They sell shoes for basketball. There's shoes for football. There's shoes for climbing. There's all kinds of shoes for all kinds of conditions, because when we are walking or moving or standing, if we do not have traction, we're not going to be very effective. I think one of the worst shoes that I've ever seen for off-roading or hiking off-road is a shoe they call a croc. Have you seen those? Now, I know that these little rubber-type shoe have what they call an adventure strap. Are you aware of that's what they call that? I understand. We joke that it's called locking it into four-wheel drive. But these shoes, they have this little strap that folds forward, and you slip your feet into them. And then if you're really going to be adventurous, you take your foot out, and you put the strap around the back. Like that's going to do anything, all right? So we're up in Montana, and Colin has his pair of rubber Crocs on. And we are camping up there, and we go hiking up this steep hill with all this sand and dirt in it. And I look and I say, Colin, I'm wearing my Salomon hiking shoes, and Colin has on his Crocs. And I said, son, well, you're not going to have traction. He said, I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So we go up the mountain. I'm behind him, and all of a sudden, Colin loses his grip. And here he comes down, and guess who he runs into? Whew! Takes my feet out. I go tumbling upside down, and Colin and I both go sliding down the mountain together. And it all came down to the fact that he did not have proper footwear. He didn't have any traction. There was no way to stand on that mountain without some sort of traction. So the Apostle Paul here is using this analogy of the Roman soldier and what he wore on his feet in order to help us to understand the importance of standing firm with our feet protected and solidified by what he calls the gospel of peace. Christian, if you don't know where you're standing, you will forever be slipping and sliding. Christian, if you don't have a sure footing in who you are in Christ, you will continually be wavering to and fro. And so the Apostle Paul here says that the Christian should have your feet prepared with, or shod, as he says, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, what does this mean exactly? Well, what is it that he wants us to understand? I've heard this preached several different ways, and I've read different commentators that have different ideas of what this means. One group of people believe that this is talking about a believer being ready to share the gospel. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, the believer should be ready and prepared to share the gospel of Christ and share the gospel of peace. And there's certainly an application that could be made that our feet are ready to move and our feet have an understanding of the gospel and our feet are wrapped in the truth of the gospel of Christ and we have peace with God and that we're moving forth sharing the gospel. And we have an Old Testament passages talking about how beautiful are the feet of those that spread the gospel of peace and all those things. And there's certainly application could be made about sharing the gospel and being ready to share the gospel. But I really feel in context of Ephesians chapter number 6, this is referring to standing against the devil, fighting against the lies and the deception and the misleadings of the devil. And that's why he says in verse 14, stand. Therefore, we're standing. This is a battle that we are in against a liar, against a deceiver, against a power of darkness, as the Bible has already said, not even against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is instruction for how the believer stands in this battle. How do we come against the lies of the devil? So stand therefore, having done all to stand, the Bible tells us. And we see this kind of understood a little bit throughout Scripture. Let me just show you one quick passage. Carter, you're going to love me this morning. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13, the Bible says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. This is kind of the same idea of what we're going to discuss this morning, standing in peace. Watch, stand, he says. We have a battle to go against. Let me tell you something. And again, I'm not much of a fighter, right? You can imagine, see, I wouldn't imagine Pastor Josh would be. But what I understand from fighting that I see, that if the opponent can get you off your feet, that is when you are really going to be in trouble. If you are taken off of your feet and you are put on the ground, that is when you are going to be defeated. And so the Bible is showing us and going to tell us how to stand. Don't let the devil take you off your feet. Don't let his lies and deceptions take your feet out from under you. If you do fall, which I have done, which we have all done, the first thing we want to do is try to stand back up because we recognize that that is a position of vulnerability when we have fallen. And so the devil is seeking to take us off our feet, and the Bible is instructing us how to stand. So he says in verse 15, as I've already read in verse number 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we're going to take our Bibles and go to the book of Romans now and talk about peace. What is this peace? I believe the peace that he's referring to, the gospel obviously means good news, peace meaning lack of conflict. The greatest peace that you and I need is peace with God. That is number one. That is paramount. We, as creations of God, We need peace with Him. He is our Creator. The Bible tells us that we have rebelled against God. The Bible tells us that we are at enmity with God because of our rebellion and because of our sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 1, He says this in verse 1 of Romans 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith," I've explained the word justification many times. Justification is the declaration of innocence. It's a legal term. It's a term by which God declares us not guilty of our sin because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. "Therefore, being justified by faith," He says, "we have peace with God." We have to recognize in this fight, we have to be at peace, are in relationship with the one who has conquered the devil. So He says in verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The number one thing that we need as human beings is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, by which we conquer the devil through His power and not through our own. So I have peace with God. That is my standing. That is my footing. That is where I stand in this battle. Because we understand that God has conquered the wiles and the deceptions of the devil. So He says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know this is going to seem a little backwards, but a little bit further in this chapter, He's going to explain to us how this happened. If you go to verse number 6 of Romans 5, He says this, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." We were without strength in due time. There is nothing in ourselves that can provide peace with God. We have no strength. We need a Savior. He says, "We were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 7, which I'm sure you know, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." But, He says in verse 8, "But God demonstrated," or showed, "God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." How do I get peace with God? Through Christ. I have no strength, I have no ability, I have nothing within myself that can provide my salvation. God has provided that. God commended His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now look at this. This is what the ultimate peace is. Verse 9. "Much more then, being now justified," the word justification, declaration of innocence through Jesus Christ. Look at this. "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Without Christ, this is a scary thought, but this is the truth of the Bible, the truth of the Word of God. Without Christ, you are under the very wrath of God. You are under the judgment of God without Christ. I hesitate sharing this story, but I remember when I was sitting in seminary, a 20-something-year-old young man, and I had a professor, Dr. Hullinger, a genius of a man. I wish that I knew half or a quarter of what he knew. And he would get serious in seminary class, and he would lean over the desk, and he would put his glasses down on the end of his nose, and he would say, "Now, students, I want you to understand something." And he made this statement. He said, "The same God that makes heaven, heaven, is the same God that makes hell, hell." And I just, what? I think it just blew my world. And I began to think, I got to argue with him. Yet that can't be true. But we understand here, we are saved from the wrath through Him. You are saved from the very wrath of God through Jesus Christ. That is the number one peace that I need. You need peace with your Creator, and that comes through Jesus Christ. And through him alone, look at what he says then as he continues this in verse number 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now look at our position before Christ. This is what the scripture says. I'm not making this up. He says this, for if when we were enemies, we were against God. We do not have the righteousness of God. He says we were enemies of God. Maybe if you don't think actively, at least passively, we were enemies of God. He says we were reconciled or brought back to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He wants us to understand that our peace with God is through Jesus Christ, and we are reconciled by the life of Jesus Christ. And so as we fight against the devil, the only way to stand in this battle is to stand in our position of peace through Jesus Christ and his work. My footing must be sure. It must be steadfast on the work of Jesus Christ. Get over your own works. Get over yourself. Get over these things that we have put in the place of Christ. It's about him. No wonder as Christians we flounder and we are to and we're fro because our footing is on things other than the peace of God through Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul wants us to stand in our relationship with Christ. As I've already said, read that one more time this morning. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you a few other verses. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says this, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. God is the God of peace. God wants to give you peace. In verse 7, he says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. John chapter 14 and verse number 27 now. John 14 and verse number 27. The Bible says this about peace, about Christ. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world doesn't offer any true and lasting peace. Only God offers true and lasting peace. 2 Thessalonians, quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says this, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. So the Apostle Paul says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. That is your standing. That is your footing. That is what you will stand upon when the devil comes with his lies and with his temptations. Peace becomes the ground we stand on, no matter the accusation that the devil brings or the battle brings. Because the devil is going to bring these things. He's going to bring accusations. He's going to bring fear. He's going to bring temptations. But we can stand secure because Christ has given us peace through God. We have peace in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Ephesians 6:15, even though it can be applied, is application for salvation and spreading the gospel, which we are to be doing as Christians. It is about us standing firm in what God has given to us through Christ. And how can we do this? Go to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. Hebrews 2 and verse number 14. I love this verse. He says this, for as much then as we are children or partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, now look at this, how do I stand in peace? Because I have someone, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has overcome the very one that is bringing the accusations. I may have told you this before, but it fits again this morning. When I was a young boy living in New Mexico, there was a guy in the youth group. His name was Sean Schmitty Smith. Doesn't that sound like a scary name? He was a big guy. He was about 330 pounds, and I didn't know when to keep my mouth shut. And so I'd go up to Sean, and I'd say something I shouldn't say, and here'd come Sean after me. And I'd be running. I was about 12. He was probably 18. And I would run, and guess where I would run? To my brother. He's older than me. His name was John Osteen. He was strong. Smitty was scared of John. John was about 220 pounds, muscle. And I would run to John, and Smitty be chasing me, and I knew I was going to be dead unless I could find my brother. But when I found John, I'd say, John, Smitty's after me. And John would come out, he'd say, Smitty, this is great. He's done for. You leave him alone. You don't know what he did to me, John. I don't care. He's my brother, and you don't mess with him. Sometimes John would get right up in his face, and Smitty'd finally just walk away. I had somebody fighting for me that was greater than the enemy. Do you understand this? How can I stand in peace? Because I'm at peace with God through Jesus Christ, and if I know Christ is my Savior, friend, you have someone fighting for you that is greater than your enemy. He's greater than the accusations. He's greater than the lies. He's greater than the fears. As a matter of fact, he came to destroy the works of the devil that they would no longer have that reign and dominion over you. All the devil has is his lies, accusations, and deceptions. And sure, he has great power, but he does not have the power of Christ. Think of every time in Scripture when the devil came in contact with Christ. The demons came in contact with Christ. What did they say? They say, we know who you are. He sends the demons into the swines. The swine. Improper English there, right? Thank you, Leslie. But the power that Christ has. And so the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14, he says this, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, talking about Christ, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Look at this. I love this. That through death, Jesus Christ and his work upon the cross, he says this, that he might destroy. I love that word when it's talking about the devil. That he might destroy, he says, him that had the power of death, that is the devil. I am fighting from a position and standing of a position of peace through Jesus Christ by his power that I have received from and through him. That's how I can stand in peace. Because the Bible says he came to destroy the devil and his evil works. You'll recognize this verse. I love this verse. 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 4. You'll recognize this. 1 John, chapter 4, and verse number 4. He says this, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Well, feeling pretty good about myself right now. I've overcome them, but how? How have I overcome? He says in verse number 4, because, or by means of, by reason of, he says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. Stand in peace. My number one concern is that I am in peace with God through Jesus Christ. And as I am in Christ, when the devil comes with his lies, deceptions, and all these things, I recognize my relationship with God through Christ, and I recognize because of Christ that greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. I had a good friend in seminary. His name was Brian. His parents went to and from Alaska and different places. And this is a story that he would tell me, but evidently there's a lot of witchcraft in Alaska. A lot of things taking place. I don't know everything about it, but he would say the area they were in, there was a lot of witchcraft. And him and his dad were believers in Christ. And he would tell the story how they would walk into a restaurant and all of a sudden people would start leaving. They wouldn't say a word. They'd start leaving the restaurant. And Brian finally asked, why are these people leaving? And it was told to him in the community that those were the local witches. And just their presence of a believer in the room, they would leave. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. Now the devil may lie and say he's more powerful than Christ, but he's not. The devil may come with deceptions and all kinds of different ideas, but we understand that Christ is superior. I can stand, my footing, my feet are secure in him, and I'm standing upon who I am in him. One more verse this morning, the book of 1 Peter chapter number 5. The book of 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. So what should our role be as Christians with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? He says this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, an adversary is one that comes against, right? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. See, we must have that belt of truth. We need to have the breastplate of righteousness on because and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Our feet should be standing upon solid ground on the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, why? Because you and I have an adversary. And the Bible says that he walks about as a roaring lion. I would imagine most have not gone against a lion. My dad was mauled badly by a junkyard dog, which I think is pretty difficult, but I think a lion is even worse in some ways. But he does say this. He says he walketh about as a roaring lion. And what's the devil trying to do? He wants to devour you. He wants to ruin you. He wants to make you of no benefit to what the world sees of you in Christ. And he will use any tactic possible to bring you down. And he's walking, which means he's moving and he's looking. And he's roaring. It is an indication of an offensive tactic, as he says. He's a roaring lion. And he says he wants to devour you. What would it be? What is it in your life right now that the devil is using to devour you? It may be different for everybody. It may be fear. Maybe doubt, it may be accusation, maybe bitterness, maybe unforgiveness, whatever it may be. But the devil wants to devour you. But this is what he says to do in verse number 9. Whom resist, he says, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But look at what he says here in verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory by Jesus Christ afterwards, that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Resist these temptations. Resist the devil. Stand fast in the peace that God has given to you. So quickly, in a way of application this morning, why does God give us these shoes? Well, we need to stand firm in battle. You will not be able to stand if your footing is not secure. And our footing is found in the peace we have with God through Jesus Christ. As already mentioned, the second reason is that we have the ability to advance the gospel, not simply to stand in place. And number three, we have peace in the face of conflict. Because of our relationship with God. I was thinking about asking this question today. Maybe I will. What shoe size are you? What are you wearing? What have you put on? What is securing your footing today? Is your footing secure because of your relationship with God and your dependence upon Him? Or is it because of our own ability and our own wit and our own understanding? In the gospel, in this battle, we must be firm in Christ. So, child of God, check your shoes. Check your shoes. What's surrounding your feet? What are you standing on this day? What is really providing your peace? Maybe you have a health concern, and what's providing your peace is the next doctor's visit. I've been there, I understand. But ultimately, that peace goes up and down. Maybe what's providing your peace today is a relationship that you're in. Teenagers are bad about this, right? You know, I'm in love. I hate them. I'm in love. I hate them. You know, on and on it goes, right? We understand how those teenage relationships go. But maybe your peace is based upon your popularity or your fame or how many people know you, whatever it may be, right? Check your shoes. Are you standing in the peace that God has given to you through Christ? Is your peace your relationship with God? Or are you allowing the world to fool you into thinking that they can provide peace? Check your shoes. And as you check them, ask yourself, are your feet surrounded with the good news of the peace of God? Are you ebbing and flowing? This is such a perfect illustration that Paul uses because we've all had trouble with shoes. We've all lost our footing. We've all had times where we weren't prepared for what we were doing or what we were involved in. Check your shoes. Are your feet surrounded with the gospel of peace? And then number three, in way of application, are you standing firm on the truth of what Christ has done for you? Check your feet. Are you standing firm on the truth of what Christ has done for you? Are you at peace with God? Let me ask you one more question. I've been preaching a lot to just believers this morning about making sure that we recognize what we have in Christ. But let me ask you a question this morning. Are you at peace with God today through Christ? You don't get at peace with God through baptism. You don't get at peace with God through keeping the law or whatever it may be. There's one way to be at peace with God, which Romans chapter 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not at peace with God if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior. That is the only way to be at peace with God, is through Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in Christ here today, stand upon Him, trust in Him, find your footing in Him, and live in this battle by the power of Christ and not of yourself. If you're not a believer here today, you need to be reconciled to God through Christ. You need to be forgiven of your sins, just like I did when I accepted Christ as my Savior, and just like many in this room did also when they accepted Christ and they were given peace with God. Joanna and Leslie are going to come play for us this morning. Let's bow our heads for just a moment together. For just a moment together this day, let's just bow our heads and maybe talk to the Lord. Check your feet. Number one, are you at peace with God through Christ? Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you ever put your faith in Him alone for salvation? Say, Josh, yes, I have. I know Christ. Well, are you standing in His truths? Are you standing in His power? Do you recognize that Christ came to give you victory? Stand in Him, that your footing may be sure and secure. Take a moment and talk to the Lord, however the Lord's working in your heart this day. Maybe we need to say, Lord, forgive me for wearing another shoe other than what You've given me. Lord, help me to put on Your peace and to walk in Your truth and to stand firm in this battle based upon what You have done. If you're here today and you never trusted Christ as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, call unto Him. Call unto Him for salvation. Amen. You can look back up at this time. Carter's going to put our final verse up. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all you've done. Lord, may we stand in the peace that we have with you. Lord, may we fight from a position of victory. May our footing be secure. May we check our shoes. May we see what we've really trusted in. And Lord, may we replace these things with the truth of who you are and what you've done. We thank you for this day. I pray for any that do not know Christ as their Savior, that they would be saved and come to Christ by faith. Work in their hearts. Show them the greatness of Christ and the sinfulness of sin. Father, I ask God that you would take us safely in as we go our separate ways this morning. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that all we do and say would honor and glorify Christ. We thank you for our Savior. Thank you for overcoming the wicked one, that we can stand in your power. In Jesus' name, amen.